Hi, rockers. This is Jem from Vacant Gardens, and you're listening to Will's Band of the Week.
This is Will's Band of the Week for February 16th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Nicholas from the Melbourne Bureau.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.
David from the New York City Bureau.
Long time no see.
And we have an exciting, this is really cool, special guest, Jem from the band Vacant Gardens from Los Angeles. Hello, Jem.
Hi, everyone. Hi from LA, sunny, with citrus trees right outside my window.
I'm jealous already. I'm looking outside. It's snow.
It's kind of hot here, actually, and the lemons are bright and yellow.
They always say that the best year-round climates are like San Diego and L.A., right? Just because it never really gets bad, right? Except unless you're in the smog.
I would agree. I mean, I'm from California originally, so I like sort of like an even-tempered weather, so I know that I can work on my stuff because it's always going to be a beautiful day.
That's nice.
But I also know that, I mean, just like not to launch into music nerd trivia, but I think Zola Jesus is from Wisconsin, and she was talking about how having a winter is totally important to her creative process.
When she started out, she was at least listed as being from Madison. So I know she lived here, right, in our city.
Yeah,
for a while, and I don't know. Does she live in L.A. now?
No, I mean, from the interviews I've read that she lived here for a couple of years, but then she moved back because she needed the winter, and that was like integral to her. And like having every day be a beautiful day was really odd and kind of disrupted her creative process.
Wow, that's rare. We don't hear that much. People, you know, we don't hear very often that people here like need to move back here. Once they leave, they're like, God, I'm so glad I left.
I mean, just like philosophically, would you say that being forced to be indoors for a set amount of time every year kind of forces you into certain rhythms and certain ways of like developing your internal world?
I think so. I think that's true. I have always actually said that I like the change of seasons. But I think that as I've gotten older, I just get tired of the cold and dreary winters. You know, you could go to Portland or Glasgow and you'd get dreary winters, but it'd be like in the 40s instead of.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking Fahrenheit, Nicholas. in the 40s instead of, you know, really cold. So enough complaining about the weather. Let's sort of introduce people to how we got in touch with Jem, and to do that, we need to play this.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for the
mailbag.
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 Great job on that, Nicholas.
I'm glad it still gets played every now and then.
He plays it live every time.
Right, yeah. Live from Nicholas's studio. Yeah. So we heard from Jem by email. So can you tell us how you discovered our podcast and figured out to email us?
Yeah, sure. There are years when I don't play music and I just kind of like to draw cartoons and listen to music. I'm such a fan that sometimes I just don't like playing because I can't listen at the same time I'm writing or writing songs. So I think it was like in 2017, I was drawing a lot in my free time, and I needed to listen to like, I wanted to listen to new bands. And I think one of the things I was looking for in the podcast search, like my search term, was Kate LeBon. So it was either Kate LeBon or Joanna Newsom. And I was like, whoever listens to these women, I want to know what else they listen to. So then I just started listening through that. And then after a while, I got hooked. And then I just kind of listen all the time now.
That's cool. That's so great, because we kind of think we have like almost all male listeners. That's
I've been at shows where it's just an audience of dudes. Like, I remember I went to a Bill Callahan show once, and I brought a friend, and he was like, "What is this?" Like, shh, be quiet, just listen to his lyrics, and don't talk anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, it's so cool. So you contact us to tell us that you had a new album coming out, and we listened and we liked it, and we said, "Hey, we got to talk about this." And then I thought, well, you know, if we're going to talk about it and you got in touch with us, maybe you'd be willing to come on. And here you are.
Yeah, totally.
So cool.
I'm here for you.
So you have a new, I guess it's a new project, right? Called Vacant Gardens.
Yeah. Vacant Gardens is my new project with my partner. I mean, musical partner and collaborator. His name is Glenn Donaldson. He lives in San Francisco. So it's sort of like, it's an email band. I'm just connecting to people through email. You guys, Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of operate out of like my little apartment and just kind of make little arcs out into the world. But yeah, so we just kind of like wrote songs over like sending each other files, and then like we did it really fast. He's a super prolific writer, and he has like a bunch of other bands he's in and his own projects. But he suggested that we start writing together, and then it just happened like within a few months. It was really hard because I work full time too. So it was like waking up before work, doing it after work, and just like carving out little bits of time and just like trying to get it done.
So was he?
That's really cool, Jim. Am I allowed to jump in with a question, Will?
Yes, you are.
Well, I'm sort of intrigued by a couple of things you've already just mentioned, Jim. And it might seem irrelevant, but I'm always interested into what people do as a job. So you mentioned you work full time as well as making this awesome music. So what's your job?
Well, I'm not going to say the specific city because it's kind of like notorious, but it's a municipality near LA. And if you've ever watched the second season of True Detective, that city's government is featured in it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a big wig in it. I just kind of do clerical work there. But yeah.
You're not the Lord Mayor.
You're not the mayor.
I don't have enough power to corrupt, but if I did, I think maybe it's available to me. Who knows?
Cool.
Yeah. So my job is very boring. I'm an office clerk, as Martha and the Muffins puts it.
But you make this music when you're not working, and you're talking about like connecting with Glenn, your musical partner, sort of over email. But so are you ever like physically in the same place making music together, or does he like record the guitars and then send them to you as an audio file, and then you record your vocals on top and send it back? Is that
It's more of the latter. I mean, I'm acquainted with Glenn from when I lived in San Francisco. That's where I'm from originally. So we're friends from like way back. But like when we started this project, I hadn't been in the same room as him in like 5 years. So it was like just a lot of, you know, passing back and forth of files. And in the beginning, I was sending him just kind of like very spare song ideas, because like for my solo stuff, I do a lot of just minimal like finger picked folk guitar type stuff. But he's always been supportive of that. And he was like, yeah, just send them to me and I'll, I mean, these aren't his words, but basically it was like, he would turn them into just sprawling goth jams. So that was just sort of like the initial like genesis of it. But like a few songs in, he started sending me just like full like bass drum guitar stuff. And he's like, do you have any like vocal ideas? And so then it just kind of shifted like mid-project to that sort of structure.
Wow. Yeah. Will, maybe we should have a listen to one of the tracks so that the listeners can hear what it is that Jim's describing.
Right. So our tradition is to everybody pick a track, but I think we should have Jim maybe tell us what one of her favorite tracks is to start it off.
I would go with let's play the title track, Under the Bloom. That was the first song that was submitted to Glenn.
All right.
And can you tell us like what the how that one started, or you know, who, what the collaboration was on that?
Yeah. So I mean, when we started talking about being in a band, he had an idea where he's like, he's a lot more musically knowledgeable than me, and he's like a crate digger and like just like has really deep stores of musical knowledge. And he was talking about, like, he would mention specific years of like 4 AD, and I was like, what does that mean? Like, can you send me some bands? And he would mention like Pale Saints or like Mojave 3 and like This Mortal Coil, and they're all new to me because I don't go deep really with with music. So I would listen to albums he sent me and just sort of like think about them, like sort of what moods they evoked, and just sort of, you know, how they made me feel, and try to kind of tap into that by internalizing it and just sort of coming up with my own version. So this band was my first attempt. And also, it was also like, I don't know if you're serious about being in a band with me, but I'm really trying. And if you don't, if you change your mind, that's okay. But here's this song.
Great. Okay, let's play it. The title track, this is Vacant Gardens, and the song is called Under the Bloom. I'm old enough that I actually listened to those 4AD albums back in the 80s. And
weren't we just having a discussion of Pale Saints about 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, we were. Yeah,
because how did you wear your hair during that time period?
I was a nerd all the time, so I just had, you know, when I was young, they called it a bowl haircut. Like, you put a bowl over your head. I don't know if it was really that bad, but. No, I never had like an 80s like Flock of Seagulls haircut or anything. Did you guys?
No.
I'd love to see David with a Flock of Seagulls haircut. That would be interesting.
No, that's a period that doesn't exist in my timeline. Sorry. Some other things do, but not that one.
I just wanted to have long hair like someone in Bon Jovi, but it never happened.
Just real crispy.
I did have a shoulder length period, so.
All right, so let's play some more from this album, and I think I have a couple more that I really love, so I have to pick one of them. I'm going to go with number 3, Sunlight on Dry Grass.
What a great title.
You caught a shadow on your arms.
That's Vacant Gardens, and we're here with Jem from Vacant Gardens, which is cool.
I'm here.
Hey, Will, have we had a band? I don't know if we've actually had a band on before that we've really been able to talk to as we listen to their music. Is that right, Will?
Right,
maybe I've missed something.
We always talk about doing it. We've had Jason on and played Jason's music, I think. Part of it's lack of effort, and part of it is, you know, a lot of the bands that we would talk about, like if we said, like, we're going to talk about The National, do you guys want to come on the podcast? I don't think they would.
You never know. Maybe you just need to email them.
I know. Well, I know. And Nicholas has done this like with these promos, like the one that hopefully we'll have you on at the beginning of this podcast with your little fun little clip. And Nicholas started doing that. And, you know, they're all like pretty indie, you know, not huge bands, but a lot of them have done it. And then we got Annie from Chastity Belt and the guy from Black Midi, Jordy Greep, to do it. So people probably would participate a little bit more if we asked. So part of it is we just
it's all in the asking.
Yeah.
Now that they hear that Jem has been on, I think they're going to be knocking on the door. So
this could open the door to,
hey, what about us?
Yeah, I've paved the way. I've strewn it with flowers.
That's right.
Come this way, guys.
That's right.
So,
hey, Jem. Oh, sorry, Will. You're about to jump in with the question, and I'm sure
yours is better. So go ahead.
Well, hey, Jem. I guess it is great to have you as an artist on the podcast. And I guess what we hear, you know, you've sort of described a little bit about like actually how you make the music, you know, with your friend Glenn. And we've obviously been hearing some of the music. I guess what I never usually hear people talk about is like what happens between that point, like where you write these songs, you record them, and then something happens, and then like the music is out there in the world. So like people can buy your music. We can find your video clips on the internet. But you know, like what happens between the point where like you've finished an album and then get, you know, kind of getting it out there, getting it onto Spotify, getting it onto a record label, getting it reviewed. Like how does it kind of jump from being something that just is in sort of in your house or in your, you know, in your computer or in your bedrooms or whatever, to like being an official release that people can sort of find?
Well, I can only speak for what I perceive within my small band. So, I mean, the record label and the digital releases, those are all generated in San Francisco through Glenn and through the record label is Tall Texan, and it's and they are doing the vinyl release, and I think that Glenn is acquainted with them, and he's just like always been involved musically, so he has a lot of friendships and people that he knows, and you know, he's active musically and has never really kind of like dropped out. So he's been doing it for a while. So all those sort of generated through, I think, I'm guessing, actually I know, through people he knows and things like that. And like, I'm sorry, I forgot the question. I'm such a bad answerer.
No, I mean, and you're answering it in the way, I guess I'm just asking about how something materializes in the sort of music world.
I will say after maybe three or four songs, Glenn said that there was a record label that was interested in putting out a full release. So already within like a few songs, he was pretty like confident in what it was sounding like. Whereas for me, I didn't even think about a bigger picture of release. Like a lot of the stuff I make on my own, I just kind of hide away in computer folders and I don't share it with anyone. But for him, he's more of like a public musician, I'd say, and comfortable. That's my cat. And comfortable with sharing things online. Like he's like super prolific and he'll put out his tracks like, you know, pretty much after he records them, and like is comfortable with like soliciting feedback and telling people what he's up to. So that's how it materialized. Cool. It's all Glenn. I'm only in the sidecar here.
You're just the singer.
But for the outreach part, maybe he's in the sidecar, or maybe we're in like a connected car with equal horsepower in each engine.
What I'm hearing here is that after this album is out and is a big success, Gemma's going to have to dig into her files and bring out all those other songs and put out a solo album to go with it.
Yeah, there are solo albums, but it's like they don't get any attention. And that's fine with me.
Well, maybe they will. Maybe they will after this.
I was going to say, everybody in the band has to play a role, right? And sometimes there's like the promotional person and the more creative people. And one of my friends has a great story about when his band did their one tour, and there was always one guy that they would designate who'd have to walk into the club and ask for the money when they forgot to pay them. So just one guy had kind of the guts to go do that, the uncomfortable confrontation with the club owner.
So, yeah, the guy who holds him upside down and shakes him.
Right, something like that, yeah. Yeah. All right, well, I think we should play one more track. David or Nicholas, do you have a track you want to pick? Who's going to shout out the loudest?
Ooh. I really love number one, I got to tell you. Anybody? Nicholas?
I'm happy for you to take that. There's plenty on the album that I really loved. I had other tracks earmarked, but hey, you take number one. I think it's probably a good introduction as well.
Sure. We'll do it. Waves on Waves.
So if I can insert my critical commentary, when I listened to that song, I thought, this is like the perfect song to start a long road trip. I'm driving, you know, like across Utah, listening to that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's all.
I do spend a lot of time in my car because I live in LA and that's where I do the majority of my music listening. So, I mean, that is a part of how I take in and, you know, process and enjoy music. So
yeah,
perfect.
I hear that.
Yep. I have just one more question for Jem, and that is this something that could potentially turn into a live band
with luck and hope? I mean, we both like Glenn performs in his band, the Reds, Pinks and Purples, and I play solo shows, so I mean it would it could easily manifest if there's interest out there.
You know what?
And we're probably going to play shows. I mean, we're both DIY type musicians who'll like play a show in a tiny bookstore. So,
okay.
Yes, a resounding yes.
That would be so cool. So that I have to mention this now because this is so cool. So I have I keep an ongoing list of new music and I have just playlists that are albums. And these are albums that are things either that I've been, that I need to listen to, that I want to listen to, or that maybe I was thinking about talking about on the podcast. And one of those that I've actually been listening to is the Reds, Pinks, and Purples album.
Oh, yeah, that's Glenn. You should check it out. That's so it's cool. Great. It's called Anxiety Art.
It is really good. So I think we got to put that on the agenda for a future podcast. That's just funny. It's like a coincidental thing. There was some cool blog that, you know, talks about cool music, and they mentioned that, and I started listening to it, and I thought, wow, that's cool. You know what? It reminded me a little bit of that guy who does, am I going to forget this guy's name? There's a guy who's like a professor at a small college in California, and he just records album after album after album, and they're all pretty good. And
you know what? I might know him.
Who is that
guy? Is it Chinatown Bakeries?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Oh, it's, you know what it is? It's the Black Watch.
Oh.
Do you know the Black
I'll
Watch?
I'll have to check him out.
Yeah. But just really good stuff, and it's kind of a psychedelic rock vibe, and I really like that Reds, Pinks, and Purples album, so we got to talk about that in the future. Well, great. Thank you, Jem. Do you guys have any other questions since we have her? She's captive on the podcast right now.
I just mainly wanted to say what a beautiful album it is. Well done. And thanks for being our sort of first or one of our first, sort of musical guests willing to talk to us here on the podcast. Maybe that's going to open the door to others. But it's just nice to have, we talk about everybody's music. We listen to it. People's music, but we don't often get the opportunity to sort of hear a bit about how it's created and the people behind it. So thank you.
Yeah, it's really great. I hope we can continue to do this in the future. And maybe Glenn wants to come on next. Who knows?
Yeah,
totally. you guys can review his album and I'll have him on. I'll be the PR. I'll be the press agent for him. I'll be like, you want to talk to Glenn? You have to go through me.
Yeah, you're his agent. Right.
Totally. Yeah, right. This is super fun. And thank you so much for listening to the album.
Great. Well, keep in touch and good luck with everything.
Thanks. You too. Should I end?
This is that awkward moment. And we love awkward moments here on the podcast.
Okay. I'm going to press the red button. Goodbye.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, only one thing is for sure, and that is it's going to go downhill from here, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone switched off anyway, so it's just us talking to each other now. Back to normal.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
As in, yeah.
Nah. It's only us now. God, it's just so, now it's going to be so boring.
I was talking about the listeners. Everyone who's listening to the podcast has turned off, so... we can say whatever we like now because no one's listening.
It's just a private conversation now, right?
Yes.
All right. Time for the next album, the Shopping album.
I'm sure we can edit all of this out in post, right?
If we want to. That's always a discretionary thing, like how much of the really sloppy banter should I leave in? Because that makes us real,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Well, I do have a thought, though, about having people on.
Okay.
And that is one of my favorite film podcasts, actually my only favorite film podcast, if anyone knows it, is the Kermode and Mayo film review show from the BBC, which is done every week. And the interesting thing about that show is they do film reviews. I mean, that's all they do. And they talk about films and they don't hold back anything. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're famous. He's famous. Kermode is famous for his rants, where he just goes digs into something, some horrible film, and just rips it to shreds. Okay, and you can find these on YouTube. Anyway, but what amazes me about that show is they will have guests, much as we just did. You know, let's interview Emma Thompson. Okay, let's interview whoever, Maggie Smith, you know, Tom Hanks, all of these people come on the show. And then immediately after the interview segment, they will talk about the film that they're there to promote, right? Because that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. They're promoting this film. It's opening. It's this week. Let's review it. But again, their reviews are not sugarcoated in any way. So you will have this interview with this person. Everyone's amiable. Everyone's wonderful and warm. And then they'll come on and they'll say, this film is the worst piece of garbage. And they'll slag it. And you think, how does this work? How can they keep these relationships going when they're being honest immediately after the, but they do. They do it week after week. I've heard it, you know, over and over again. And it's just, you know, it just occurs to me that they do that. Not that we would ever do that, of course.
Well,
but
we
that's
kind of,
something that these people actually do, and it's kind of amazing.
We kind of come at it from the opposite direction because
we're going in the other direction.
We don't put anything on the podcast unless we like it. And
right. So if somebody appears, then automatically they're going to get a positive review because we wouldn't have them on in the first place if we didn't like it. Right?
Right. Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, just want to make that clear.
All right. I think we all like the Shopping album. At least it's been in the podcaster banter. It's been getting a good response. Nicholas, you've really you've got a record of being a fan of the band Shopping. So
because it always takes me back a few years because I feel like it was one of the first times I was on the podcast, sort of early on in my podcasting career with you guys, that we reviewed their first album. And so that always, I'm always sort of reminded of that when a new Shopping album comes up. It's like, oh, yeah, we talked about their first album, which I think was like in about 2013 or something like that. It was kind of nice to have the opportunity to listen to this album again. Lots to say, but my main point would be I reckon this is actually their best album. And I even kind of went, I know that you guys reviewed their last album, which I think was only just last year or the year before, which I kind of hadn't really gotten into. And I had another listen to that to think, oh, maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it when it came out. But I actually think that this is way better than all of their other albums. So I kind of feel like if you liked their other stuff, they've somehow stepped up in all their hours of playing together and touring and songwriting has what I think created their strongest album. That's just my opinion. I don't know what you guys think. Happy to choose a song at any point.
Yeah. I think you should pick a track to get it going and then we'll continue the conversation.
Great. Well, let's just go straight into track 9, Body Clock, because it's just sort of like rocks pretty hard right from the start and it's good, just a great example of how awesome they sound these days.
We'll be right back.
That's Shopping. The new album is called All or Nothing. And yeah, so one of the things I've noticed about this album, in addition to the fact that the songs are consistently good, is it just sounds great, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like the recording engineer just did a perfect job? Everything just sounds, you know, it just fits.
It's extremely crisp.
Yeah, and the bass just punches through. They always have had that cool sound, but
yeah,
it's yeah, it's pretty cool, right? Three people, bass, guitar, and drums, and it just it's almost like all three are at the forefront and at the same time. Nicholas and I had a little conversation about this earlier, but the guitar player Rachel is also in the band Sacred Pause, which we talked about last year, and then she has another band called Trash Kit that I've only heard a little bit of, but so she's very much a prolific indie rocker.
Yeah, and I was checking out Trash Kit this week, and I know I often say, oh, they're my new favorite band. I think Trash Kit are my new favorite band. I'm in love with Shopping. I wanna marry Shopping, but Trash Kit, they're gonna come to the wedding and play as well, because they are awesome. Oh my god, just there's too much music, too many bands in the world. We should just stop talking now.
I thought you were gonna say you were gonna marry Shopping and then have an affair with Trash Kit.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
You didn't go there. You didn't go there.
Well, they could do a triple bill.
Yeah, and then there's Sacred Pause. What do you do with Sacred Pause? I guess you're just good friends with Sacred Pause.
Just good friends. Yeah. Trash Kid have got this great sort of, they talk about Rachel Aggs's guitar playing being influenced by High Life, which is a particular kind of upbeat African music. It kind of comes out a lot more in the band Trash Kid. They've definitely got a sort of an African influence, but it's...
It came out on that track, though.
Yeah.
The track was very... very much a West African thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a bit more of that in Trash Kit. So if you kind of like that aspect of Shopping, check out that. But we're here to talk about Shopping, aren't we?
It's fun to listen to all three bands, though, isn't it? Because her guitar playing is, she's got a style. And it's, it is not completely divergent among all the three bands. It's there's a consistency, sort of, I think. Mm. So, I'm going to potentially see them a couple times in Tucson in March, and then when we go to South by Southwest, they are slated to be there. So
they are indeed.
Should be cool. Well, David, do you want to take the next pick?
Well, of course, Nicholas stole my pick. That was my because of the guitar. That was my top pick there. So I have to settle for my second pick, which would be number one, the title track,
All or Nothing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. That totally justifies playing track one.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about the sound, and this is the perfect contrast, really, to Vacant Gardens. Here you've got, you know, you can sort of reach into the mix and pluck out each individual instrument, you know, exactly what's going on.
Right.
And then you have something like Vacant Gardens where the whole sound is just like washing over you and you have no idea. There's no way you can hear any individual element there except maybe the voice. Everything else is just like a wash.
Right.
Total. Yeah. Just a big wave.
Yeah. And they're both totally cool in their own way, right?
Yeah.
So I was going to, you know, Nicholas likes to talk about nerdy music gear stuff, right, Nicholas?
Sure.
So when you hear that bass, are you thinking, yeah, that's definitely a Fender Precision bass run through an Ampeg SVT with an 8x10 cabinet, right?
Well, I'm not exactly thinking that, but I'm looking at a live clip of Shopping playing on Audio Tree.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what she's playing. Yeah, she's definitely playing a Fender, looks like it may be a Precision, with a big, yeah, some sort of big bass amp. But so I think your ears are a little bit more tuned into exactly what bass it might be. That's what you're thinking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah. Totally cool. All right. I have a pick, and I think I've done this a couple times recently where it's kind of, it could be considered not creative because I think I'm picking the hit. Like, I think this one might have been, I don't know, I hardly ever watch videos, but I think they might have promoted this one. If they didn't, they should have. It's number two, called Initiative. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I think my pick was the best. I mean, not that I don't respect your picks.
I'm laughing because for some reason that's always important to you, Will. And you never really give up on that year after year. But, you know,
right.
I guess that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
But I also liked your just sort of reserved in the background in response to that, Dave. That's all you've really got to say, isn't it?
Well, as I recall, the track that we picked got two votes.
That's true.
Will's only got one.
I did get outvoted.
I don't know in Australia. In the U.S., sometimes the person who has the fewest votes is the winner. I don't know if we do it that way. But apparently we do.
Yeah, we do it that way.
In Australia, yeah. I believe it's you know, the majority rules, right?
Well, just to support you, Will, you must have great taste because, in fact, that was a single, and the band have done a very funny sort of very funny video clip to it where they're all kind of going crazy in an office. Yeah, kind of almost like an 80s style video. So check that out, kids, online.
Well, I just think that has so much propulsive energy. I could almost see myself dancing to it, but I dance about as much as Barrett does, which is very little. But, you know, if they can bring that kind of energy to a live performance, I think it'll be great. So,
I love those words, propulsive energy, because I feel like that the whole album's kind of like that. And I think the first time I listened to it, I was sitting at the kitchen table doing some really boring admin work at night, and I basically put that album on about like four or five times in a row, because I feel like the album only goes for about, feels like it only goes for 20 minutes, but it's no doubt longer than that. But the whole album just kind of like has this urgency, and it's very sort of self-assured, and I feel the band is just kind of undeniable now in how great they are. And, you know, the whole, it's sort of, the whole sound is meaty, it's kind of tough, but it's also kind of friendly in a way, and that even though they've sort of got they seem to have a certain political agenda and things that they are issues that are important to them, it never stops being fun. So I like how they kind of mix all that together.
Yeah, there's definitely a fun factor there. This is not somber, serious music, right?
More and more I think I've been talking about this more and more, that's the kind of music, you know, that I want to listen to, music that's full of joy.
This, by the way, is their third album. You mentioned that we talked about the last one. I'm pretty sure we talked about the first one too. There was one in 2015 called Why Choose, and then The Official Body was in 2018, and now this one, All or Nothing. So
yeah, I thought they had another one before that though.
Let's see. Yeah, it does.
Consumer Complaints was their first one.
Yep, I was off
in 2013.
I missed that one. So yeah, this is number four. Fourth Complaints album, was number one. Yeah. Well, very cool. All right.
Well, shopping. Given the fact that we've obviously been covering them from almost the very beginning, they really should be guests on the show very soon, right?
I should have asked them. Yeah. That's like Jem says, you got to ask. You never know until you ask.
When you see them in Tucson, see if you can arrange that.
You know what usually happens, though? We hand them that card and it ends up on the pavement, right? The first time three or four of us had handed out these, what we call them, business cards, but we don't have a business, so we shouldn't even call it that. But an informational card. And then, like, half an hour later, we saw one on the sidewalk. Maybe we should just throw them on the sidewalk right away instead of handing them to people.
Then maybe someone will pick it up and they'll go, what's this cool thing on the ground?
Right. It'll be just like the scooters in Austin will have Will's Band of the Week cards everywhere. They'll start writing articles about it. Okay. Nicholas has a special feature. He's going to talk about an old album. And he thinks maybe people won't even know what it is when he plays it, so we're gonna kind of sneak it in, right?
Are we gonna do this bit now?
Yeah.
Great. Do you want to? I'm sort of putting you on the spot here. I'm gonna put you on the spot a couple of times, Will, but don't be nervous. I don't know if you wanted to use the little theme song that I created at home.
Oh, that's right. How could I forget that? Hold on, I was queuing up the music and I forgot. Nicholas is always ready. On command to make a jingle, right? So
it's true.
Yep. Yeah. This one.
I tried to do this in the least amount of time possible. So who knows what it'll sound like? But
should I give the title of the jingle, or should we just play it?
No. I think give it the title, because people might not be able to. Yeah. I think that'll probably help.
Okay. go ahead. You can introduce it.
Well, so I think I mentioned it a while ago that, you know, I do have this tendency of sort of like discovering music, you know, well after the rest of the world discovered it. But it's kind of one of the good things about, you know, this world of recorded music. But I feel kind of compelled to sometimes share this with everybody. So we're calling this segment Nick's Overlooked But Not Overcooked segment.
Overlooked but not overcooked.
Very succinct.
Yeah, there's part of me that's embarrassed. Part of me that's like, oh God, yeah, it's worse than I remember. But anyway, sometimes you just got to do these things and not think about it too much.
It just played your ASMR thing too. Last week, well, Barrett and I were talking about that. So yeah, maybe that's a little. It'll be a subliminal thing. People might have heard that. But anyway.
Yeah, you can keep the ASMR theme up your sleeve for next time Barrett's on, or anyone that wants to talk about ASMR.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to last week's episode.
Right, right.
But in terms of overlooked but not overcooked, you can decide yourself whether this band's overcooked or not. But I feel like there's these albums by this particular band that I kind of knew this band. I'm not going to say who it is until after we've heard a couple of little clips. But let's just say that the main guy was in another band, and then he sort of did a couple of solo albums and then sort of like put this band together. And then they became really big, but a couple of their albums were much maligned, I guess, and even fans of the band didn't particularly like this sort of first album that they put out. But I've been listening to it and really loving it. And I was even in like a kind of a groovy guitar shop here in Melbourne a few weeks ago, and they were playing one of the kind of solo albums by this artist, from around the same period. So I was having a conversation with one of the kind of cool young guys about this band, and you know, he also kind of liked them and liked this album. So maybe now that this, some of these albums from this period of this band's career is getting a little bit of love. Maybe it seems ridiculous that I'm talking about this band and, you know, who the hell it is that we're talking about. Let's listen to this first song. We're going to listen to, I think it's track 2 called Bip Bop. Just have a listen to it, and then we're going to listen to another little clip, and then we can maybe reveal who it is and you can talk about your experience with them. So let's listen to this song called Bip Bop. All I want you to do is open your hearts, open your minds, and you decide yourself whether you like this music or not.
It's Bip Bop, and I'm kind of amazed, Nicholas, because you told me that you wanted to play a couple of tracks and you thought maybe people wouldn't know what it is. And I have to say, if you just played this for me cold, I don't think I would know. I mean, I don't think I would guess. I would not know who the artist is. So what percentage of listeners right now do you think know who the artist is? I'm going to say it's less than half.
Oh, Nicholas is on mute. Nicholas.
Sorry. You're right. I was on mute. Yes. Will, we're going to do what we call the big reveal very soon.
Okay. Are we going to play another track first?
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah. This is fun.
We're going to do a bit of track four, but to make it even slightly harder to guess who it is, can you please start from 8 seconds in, because there's a little bit at the start where you can tell the guy's voice a little bit too clearly. But okay. My point is that this singer can often change the sound of his voice and you can't really recognize it. So if you go track four, but start at 8 seconds and then we'll listen. And this is also just another awesome track. I just reckon this is great music. It's not what you expect from this band or this artist. And check out this track. This is an awesome track called Wildlife. Well, Dave, do you know who this is that we're listening to?
Well, of course, I have inside knowledge, so I knew what the project was via the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, I told him.
Now, if I hadn't known, first of all, the first cut would not have told me a thing about anything. The second cut, I guess, probably at a certain point, I would have recognized the voice.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Will, do you want to tell the listeners who we've been listening to?
Of course, it's Wings from 1971.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like right after the Beatles. This is, and I didn't even know this album existed.
Well, I think a lot of people didn't, although it went to like number 10 in America on the Billboard chart, so it wasn't exactly overlooked. Mm-hmm. Straight out of the Beatles, Paul McCartney put out his also much maligned album called McCartney, which is another gem. Everybody, I feel like I've just got to tell everybody, you've got to check out his first solo album, McCartney. And then after that, he did the album called Ram in 1971. And then later that year, he put out this album and he sort of like titled his band Wings. And this was like the first sort of official Wings album. But then, you know, then they kind of changed and became this big sort of glossy 70s band that everybody kind of knew, and I suppose that was what I was slightly familiar with. But then, yeah, my point is you kind of go back to the start of Wings and you hear this album that even Wings fans say, oh, that's a, you know, Wildlife, it's a bad album, don't even listen to it. It's like, what are you talking about? This has got some great stuff. It's really kind of diverse, really interesting and raw, and I think people were just too hung up about comparing everything Paul McCartney did to the Beatles. And I think if you just take it on its own merits, there's just some great music to check out. I think I thought the Wings were just some really kind of daggy. I think I've used that word on the podcast before. If you're interested, I'll tell you the origin of the word, but it's not a flattering term. Wings were like, I don't know who I thought they were like, but, you know, they've done plenty of great music as well as all the mega hits that you know.
Live and Let Die and Band on the Run. What are the other hits? Someone's Knocking at the Door. Did they do that one? Is that what that song is called, or is that not even the title? Let Him In, it's called.
I've sort of been diving into some of the Wings albums. I kind of stopped at a certain point because their sound kind of changed quite rapidly. Band on the Run is an awesome album as well. Some of these, I realize, you know, sometimes you can kind of like think that you know a band or think that you know these songs, and then it's not until you actually listen properly and, like, you know, take it out of remove yourself from what the context of the 1970s might have been, and you kind of realize, oh, maybe it's actually something different than I thought it was. I don't know if you guys ever do that. Do you ever kind of get inspired or intrigued to listen to a band that maybe you kind of knew, or you knew a little bit about them, and then you kind of listen to them properly and it's almost like you're listening to it for the first time? Have you ever had that experience with really old music?
I should, you know, but I've listened to so much new music. Barrett, I'm sure, would be able to tell you examples of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had certainly never listened to any Wings albums from start to finish, you know, until a couple of months ago. And as you can hear, I was delighted. Yeah, plenty to discover. But my tip is listen to their first album, Wildlife, from 1971. But also go back to I'm just needing to implore people to not discount Paul McCartney because he's Paul McCartney. He actually has done some music that might actually surprise you, and we talk about lo-fi music. Uh-huh. You know, his first album, McCartney, from 1970, was just him in his house with a tape machine, making what you could totally describe as kind of lo-fi, almost indie music. And, you know, that might sound ridiculous, but it's not. You know, go and check it out. It's not all, you know, sometimes I think of, like, Paul McCartney's solo career is like, you know, say the duet that he did with Michael Jackson in about 1984. It's like, that's not everything that he's about, and it's not all just about the Beatles.
The first track you played, actually, I was thinking that it sounded a little bit lo-fi.
Yeah,
and that's not something you'd expect, because you think about it, like, he's got $1 million budget for anything he wants to do. Right. So how does he even end up putting out anything that's this lo-fi? So, yeah, in a way that makes it cool. So, yeah, very good.
Thank you for indulging me, Will and David and listeners. Anyone that's still listening, I feel like it's a little indulgent of me, but that's what podcasts are all about, really, aren't they?
Well, one of the things
I'm just trying to share something that I love.
That's great. Yeah, one of the things we like to do is do the $0 evaluation at the end of the podcast. And this one, pretty clearly, it was greater than zero when we had Jem on. So hopefully we just didn't reduce it below zero for the rest of it, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Well, we've definitely added value with this feature. I can say that.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'd also like to point out that he did some good work with his earlier band. People should check that.
Right,
they have
the earlier heard. Stuff. Yeah, you can go back to the earlier stuff. Strangely, some of it was more hi-fi, but
right.
Or just like confusing fi. All right, is that it? Are we done? Is it complete? A complete podcast?
Well, feel free to edit this out, Will. I did have a live report, but I feel like our episode has gone for a good amount of time anyway, and I've always said more than my fair share, so I'm happy to put that one on hold or just put that one on the shelf for now.
Okay, well, I'm going to make the call, and this will tell you my executive decision on this issue. Says we have to go in order, right? We can do anything in any order we want. It's free form podcasting.
I feel like this podcast, it feels like it's Christmas, okay? And I'm the little kid sitting in the middle of the lounge room, and you guys are like the grown up sitting on the, you know, the couches on the outside of the room, and you guys just keep like piling presents into my lap, and I'm just sitting there going hee 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 hee, ripping off the wrapping paper. So, you know, if you want to keep piling presents in my lap, sure.
Yeah. Now you're going to give us a present.
You have to reveal what the live report is.
So last week, some friends and I went to see Melbourne band The Ivory Elephant at a place called The Cactus Room. And, I did do a little bootleg recording from the back of the room. It was a cool little venue. Maybe I'll talk about the venue in a moment. But, Will, again, I'm sort of putting you on the spot. Is it easy to hit play on the little recording that I sent you of Melbourne band The Ivory Elephant? Can we have a listen to them from last week?
I think I can dig it up here.
Would it sound cooler if I said, hey, I went to see this blues rock band? Or would it say, hey, we went and checked out this psychedelic rock band? Which sounds cooler?
I think psychedelic rock band sounds cooler.
Yeah, so what is it about the word psychedelic that suddenly makes something like, oh, yeah, that's cool?
I don't know. I looked up while we were playing that. I typed in a search, The Ivory Elephant, and the first two little blips that show up on the search. The first one says, not subservient to the trends of modern music. The band follow their own interstellar trajectory of fuzz-laden rock and extended psychedelic trips. And then the next one says, from the depths of Melbourne's underground, the Ivory Elephant exists in a space of late nights and loud sounds.
Yeah. All great, all good descriptions. We saw them at a place called the Cactus Room, which is this little venue. It's kind of cool. You kind of walk in and it's, I think by day, it's like a rehearsal room. So it's just kind of a square room with a tiny little stage. It's like about, you know, 20 centimeters off the ground and a PA. And you're all just kind of in this one, it's almost like a big lounge room. just this square room. So everyone's just kind of like, you know, spread against the perimeter walls with the band sort of in front of you. But that was awesome because you're right there, right in the room with them. And then you sort of like walk past the band through the room and then you're sort of out in a beer garden. So it's very kind of groovy, kind of, you know, grungy little venue. And the friends that I went with and I, we all kind of agreed, oh, this band, you know, it feels like this band is sort of like destined for great things and, you know, much, you know, when you see a band in a really sort of like small venue with maybe a kind of a smallish audience and it's like, oh, wow, this band's heaps better than I thought they would be and this band sounds like they sort of deserve to be on much bigger stages doing much bigger gigs. Well, it was kind of like that, seeing the Ivory Elephant. So, yeah, they were great. They sounded awesome. And hopefully they'll you know, lots of people sort of like catch on to the fact that they're an awesome band. I think they've had about 3 albums out and they were launching their new album called Stone Face.
Very cool. That was it. That was greater than $0 just and bonus beyond that.
I didn't get a promo. I should have gotten a promo. I realized I had an opportunity at the end because I sort of like they finished playing, then we're sort of hanging out in the back having a beer with my friends, and then sort of as I walked through the band room to get out, they were just sort of standing on the stage, you know, coiling up their cables. And I said, oh, thanks. And I'm like, thanks for coming. I realized I probably could have said, hey, do you guys want to record a promo? Anyway, I did send them a little message via the internet but haven't heard back, so we'll see if that materializes.
Cool. All right, anything else? Are we going to call it a podcast?
Enough material for 2 podcasts.
It probably could be.
Yeah. Maybe we should cut it and make it a 2-parter. Make people wait a week to hear who the mystery band is at the end. Well, the 2 mystery bands, actually.
Yeah. The material's starting to pile up now with all the recent releases, so we got to keep it rocking.
That's true. That's
all right. Yeah, there's one that got released a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I don't think I can overlook this. I really got to make sure I listen to this because I think it might be worthy. I'm not going to say what it is, though. Okay, maybe off air, but let's sign off. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. With correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening. Hear that?
ASMR of the week. ASMR of the week.